ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं मद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 13 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड ब्रह्मा स्टीलिंग द बॉयज एंड कैव्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 5। आर वी सपोज्ड टू डू दैट? चंद्रिका विशदस्मेरै सारुणापांगवीक्षितै स्वकार्थानामिव राजा सत्वाभ्यां सृष्टिपालकाः वा विशदस्मेरैः। बाय प्योर स्माइलिंग लाइक द फुल इंक्रीजिंग मूनलाइट स अरुण अपांग वीक्षितैः। By the clear glances of their reddish eyes, Svaka Arthana, of the desires of his own devotees, Iva, just as Rajah Sattvabhyam, by the modes of passion and goodness, Srashtri Palakaha, were created. Translation: those Vishnu forms, by their pure smiling, which resembled the increasing light of the moon, and by the sidelong glances of their reddish eyes, created and protected the desires of their own devotees, as if by the modes of passion and goodness. Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Those Vishnu forms bless the devotees with their clear glances and smiles, which resemble the increasingly full light of the moon. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. As maintainers, they glanced upon their devotees, embracing them and protecting them by smiling. Their smiles resemble the mode of goodness, protecting all the desires of the devotees. And the glancing of their eyes resembled the mode of passion. Actually, in this verse, the word rajah means not passion, but affection. In the material world, rajaguna is passion, but in the spiritual world, it is affection. In the material world, affection is contaminated by rajaguna and tamoguna, but in the Shuddha Sattva, the affection that maintains the devotees is transcendental. The word svakarthanam refers to great desires. As mentioned in this verse, the glance of Lord Vishnu creates the desires of the devotees. A pure devotee, however, has no desires. Therefore, Sanatan Goswami comments that because the desires of devotees whose attention is fixed on Krishna have already been fulfilled, the Lord's sidelong glances create variegated desires in relationship to Krishna and devotional service. In the material world, desire is a product of rajagun and tamogun. But desire in the spiritual world gives rise to a variety of everlasting transcendental service. Thus, the word svakarthanam refers to eagerness to serve Krishna. In Vrindavan, there is a place where there was no temple, but a devotee desired, let there be a temple and seva, devotional service. Therefore, what was once an empty corner has now become a place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of a devotee. Hare Krishna. Chandrika Vishadasmerai, sha saruna panga vikshite. So here today, Brahmaji's vision is being explained in further detail. Lord Brahma saw the beautiful smiling faces of all the Vishnu forms. And then he also saw their clear glances of their eyes that had a reddish tinge. Their smiles have been explained to be as Chandrika Vishadasmerai, like the full increasing moonlight. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this. He says, actually, when the transcendental forms of Lord Vishnu were smiling, their smiles were so enigmatic and so brilliant that the full moon was lamenting, now who's going to look at me? My beauty is nothing compared to the beauty of the smiles of the Lord's smile. So, in three paragraphs, Srila Prabhupada is making important points, especially the last one where he says, there was once an empty corner which has now become a place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of a devotee. History explains, or historical facts. One peculiar incident in the life of the famous scientist Einstein. He was on a tour of giving many lectures, and an entire week of really stressful, or let us say, too many lectures had been arranged for him, that this particular day he practically collapsed in his car and he said, I won't be able to go, it's impossible. And at the same time he arranged what to do, the lecture has to be cancelled. So his driver, he looked back and said, well, does anyone know how you look like? He said, no, I'm coming here for the first time. And obviously, those are the days when there was no internet or things like that, you know. So, no one knew about him. So his driver said, I have practically heard you speak at all these places and it has been the same topic at every lecture that you have been speaking. And I've practically memorized the entire content. So, I will go and speak on your behalf. If it's all right with you. For that? And he said, yes. So the driver goes in and he gives a lecture and everyone is amazed. And everyone is very much amazed. Just like when we speak of something other than direct Krishna consciousness, everyone becomes amazed and awakened. Similarly, everyone was really very much impressed. And then came the time for question and answers. Someone raised his hand and said, I have a question. And he asked a question, and this was a really very intricate question related to physics. What the question actually meant, forget the answer. So he said, just a minute, this question is so simple that I will let my driver answer this question. So he calls in Einstein, who has had at least 1.5 hours rest. He comes in and answers the question. Well, we began with the difference between knowledge and understanding. The driver seemed to have knowledge. At least the audience was impressed. And well, he did have some presence of mind. Therefore, when it really came to understanding, he called in Einstein. Something very interesting is happening today, or in the series of work, is Adi Kavi, someone very intelligent. And there are certain questions to which answers are not, was not understood by him. And now he's in a situation where he understands that he has made mistakes. So this is the nature of the material world. The material world is so arranged that one inadvertently commits mistakes, including Brahma. Lord Brahma, he commits mistakes. The false ego, or the coverings of the mode of passion and ignorance, which basically they increase of false ego. So certain problems arise because of this. These are the basic issues which inadvertently will be present in the material world, definitely. First, mistaken identity. We are completely mistaken about our identity. We are servants of Krishna, but then right from material understanding to jada vidya to aham brahmasmi, mistakes are being committed. Considering the body to be self, to the self to be all in all. So mistaken identity, that is the first mistake inadvertently everyone makes. The second mistake is, we make the mistake of not understanding Krishna's identity. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the cause of everything, be all and end all. Like the example is given of the famous saint from the Das Sampradaya in the south, Purandara Das. Or maybe, no, sorry, Kanaka Das. Born in a low caste family, once the disciples in the ashram of his guru, they wanted him to be rejected. So the guru said, all right, let us test the quality of all the disciples. He gives every one of them an apple and says, eat this in a place where no one sees you. So everyone comes back having eaten the apple except Kanaka Das, I think. Or maybe it's Purandara Das, I could be making a mistake, but most probably it's Kanaka Das. Everyone eats the apple except him. So his guru asks him, well, why didn't you eat the apple? Everyone did eat it in different places, you know, where no one could see them. And he said, where is a place in this world where the Paramatma is not observing? He is not the Sakshi. So Krishna's identity is mistaken. Whether even in the lives of those of us who are practicing, that is the mistake we inadvertently make. We do not completely understand Krishna's identity, or we understand his identity in a way which is not completely true. And finally, there's another mistake that we make. Obviously, because mistaken identity of the self and mistaken identity of Krishna leads to mistaken relationship. That's the concomitant result of that. Third is, we do not understand the real identity of Krishna's devotees. Like Brahmaji here. I mean, Brahmaji for some time had the idea that, okay, Krishna, I've heard about Krishna performing so many pastimes in Vrindavan. And then he comes and he sees Krishna with all the cowherd boys who look as ordinary as any other cowherd boy. Now, not only Krishna is behaving in an ordinary way, but his boyfriends are also more than, you know, or less than ordinary or whatever. And because he does not understand the position, Shakam Vijaru Krit Punya Punjah. That is why that verse in the Bhagavatam, the previous, you know, previous verse, Prabhupada mentions that. Those who are aspiring for spiritual enlightenment and are after the Brahman effulgence, those who are devotees who accepted Krishna as a master, and those who are completely engrossed in the material body, for them it becomes difficult to understand. They cannot understand that how much pious activities these boys must have performed not to be playing with Krishna. Even someone like Brahmaji gets bewildered by that, not understanding the identity of Krishna's devotees. Now, can we really understand how perilous situation we are in this material world? It is not just a case of mistaken identity of the self. Added to that is the mistaken identity of Krishna, and add to it mistaken identity of Krishna's devotees. Now, where do you start unraveling this mystery? How do you do it? Therefore, this is called as Aham Agyan Jam. This is Agyan Jam Tamaha. It is such deep, dark well of ignorance. Practically, there is no light anywhere. Practically, it's like hopeless situation. Hence, sometimes the scriptures will make it a point. They will say, yes, so these ladies in Vrindavan, some of them, they were great rishis in the past. And when Lord Ramachandra was going to the Dandakaranya forest, they wanted a relationship with him. So he said, in my next incarnation, I will have this relationship with you. So they came as gopis, Rishi Chari gopis. And now we feel comfortable. Okay, some of these gopis are really powerful rishis. Then there are some gopis which are Shruti Chari gopis. The Shrutis themselves have come as gopis. And now our awe and reverence has increased. Otherwise, because of these mistakes that we automatically make, we may consider the residents of Vrindavan to be ordinary. The Rishichari gopis, the Shrutichari gopis, and there are others also, those who had to give up their bodies in the separation of fire. Now some of the residents of Vrindavan, especially at Bhattarol, those Yajnapatnis, that purified them. So there are the others also who are the residents of Vrindavan. So such awe and reverence attracts us beyond, more than the sweetness of Vrindavan. And that is how we make mistakes. That is where the 10th canto is explaining. It is explaining the mistakes made by our Sampradaya Acharya, Brahmaji. So by its very nature in the material world, mistakes are bound to happen. And by its very nature of existence in the material world, they are bound to happen again and again and again. Brahmaji had heard, it was Lord Vishnu who had spoken to him within his heart, I am going to come tell all the demigods to incarnate in the Yadu dynasty and in Vrindavan. He knew. It's not that he did not know. He knew much more than us. We are hearing, and sometimes we are hearing with a consciousness half awakened. Brahmaji was in full consciousness when he heard this. He made a mistake. Chaitanya Charitamrita speaks about Brahmaji coming to Dwaraka. And again there was a mistake made. Here we are saying Brahmaji, again a mistake is being made. This is not the only instances. Let us see how dangerous the material world is. Another example. Krishna told Arjuna. Arjuna came visiting Krishna in Dwarka from Hastinapur. Krishna told him, very soon everything is going to be finished. Please take back my queens to Hastinapur. Arjuna agreed. Krishna's orders. Krishna left the planet in great distress of separation from Krishna. Arjuna is trying to focus all of his attention on protecting the queens of Dwarka and take them back to Hastinapur. Suddenly a few tribal people come and they take away the queens. Arjuna can't do anything. Arjuna comes back to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And in reply to his question as to why are you looking so very dejected, he gives so many reasons which explain how every act of prowess, every act of anything that is shreshtha or greatness and that had happened in the lives of the Pandavas was just a benediction of Krishna. And then what does Arjuna say? This is the same bow. These are the same arrows. This is the same chariot. These are the same horses. I am the same charioteer. But sarvam chanena, everything in a moment, was gone. Sarvam chanena tadabhut asat. Everything became asat. Isharikdam. In the absence of Krishna. And then he said that by remembering Govinda bhitena me, bhitani me, abhitani, what Krishna had spoken to me, abhitani. I remembered that. And that has given me some solace. I remembered the message of the Bhagavad Gita again. So when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita and Arjuna was fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in one lecture Prabhupada says, when Arjuna was shooting his arrows, shooting of arrows was as good as listening to the instructions from the Bhagavad Gita. You know, something like Arjuna was not with every arrow first chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram. And then he didn't have, sometimes he was like a firebrand. So many arrows in 360 degrees. And just imagine, either he must be super fast in chanting Hare Krishna, 16 rounds in 2 minutes or something like that, or less than that. But that is Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha. Arjuna was extremely powerful, his devotional service. Here, Ishriktam, somehow or the other, the same Arjuna, the same Gandhi, the same prowess, it's gone. And Shukdev Maharaj says, further on, he says, because of remembering the words spoken by Krishna in the mode of friendship, the contamination that was there in Arjuna was dispelled. Vimala gati. Vimala. The contamination was gone. So there was some contamination. And further on, Shukdev Maharaj explains that this contamination was, or Arjuna was supposedly appeared to be at a loss because of being separated from Krishna. But again, remembering Krishna's instructions removed the trash of his thoughts. That is how the translation is. So, bewilderment can happen like this. It happened with Arjun too. And he was not able to protect the queens of Dwarka. The only way he got some solace was again remembering the message of Bhagavad Gita. Again we see the doorkeepers at Vaikuntha. Mistake. Now these examples are of those, like the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, that the sannyasi, their character is so unblemished that even one wrong act appears like a sharp contrast. It is clearly seen. Similarly, these devotees are so surrendered to Krishna that seemingly a moment of lapse is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So what to speak of us where our consciousness is so dark that a mistake put on that is lost. It is like the Aloka Lok part. You know, there is this Loka Lok mountains in the universe. The sun does not go beyond that. So anything dropped in that part is lost forever. The soul has to go from across that. So we must not jump off there. Because although the soul is spiritual spark, this place is so dark that everything, anything that falls there is lost. Similarly, our consciousness is so dark that a small mistake and we are not even aware. A grave mistake and we are not even aware. It's lost forever in the darkness of a consciousness. So where is the question of correction? Where is the question of remembering the Bhagavad Gita so easily and the instructions? Another important point is the same related to mistakes is Brahmaji is used to great opulences. He's used to be in an entourage of knowledgeable people, constantly reciting the Vedas. And then he comes to Vrindavan and there he sees they're eating some curd, some milk, no Vedic chant, and Krishna is interacting with them. And because of his past association and that conditioning, immediately Brahmaji could not reconcile what is taking place in Vrindavan. Now Brahmaji is not engaged in any activities which are unfavorable. He is engaged in all favorable activities according to the Vedic texts. But the conditioning of that, when contrasted with the sweetness and the simplicity of Vrindavan, bewildered him. made him question for a moment. Made him want to test Krishna. Therefore, if we, the previous chapter, Nalakuvar and Mani grieve, you know. So wonderfully that chapter describes, with the prayers of Nalakuvar and Mani grieve, it describes how important or how beneficial it is to be poor. Akinchan, Nishkinchan. And Prabhupada in one purport says, therefore saintly personalities voluntarily accept poverty. And even the great kings, they have at one point given up all of the opulences and gone to the forest. Because in such a situation, whatever one receives, one is very careful to protect it. And therefore, when one receives the association of saintly personalities, then one very eagerly accepts it and protects it. So such examples, they make us aware of two things. One is our very, very clear understanding of our fallibility. And secondly, it makes us understand Krishna's infallibility. And the infallibility of Krishna's holy names, Krishna consciousness. Hence, our greatest fortune would be when we have these two understandings, that how fallible we are always and how infallible Krishna is eternally. How does that happen? How does that fortune arise? This is where Srila Prabhupada says, in Vrindavan there is a place where there was no temple, but a devotee desired, let there be a temple and save our devotional service. Therefore, what was once an empty corner has now become a place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of a devotee. Let there be a temple and seva. Such are the desires of a devotee. In the 11th canto, there is a beautiful verse in the Uddhav Gita section. This verse states, Naiva payanti apachitam kavayastavesha brahmayushapi kritam riddhamudhas smaranta yantar bahistanu bhritam ashubham vidhunvan acharya chaitya vapusha swagitam vanakti. My dear Lord, it is such a great fortune of the conditioned living entity that you have appeared externally as the Acharya and internally as the Chaitya Guru. Tesham evanu kamparatham aham agyan jamtamaha nashyami atmabhavasu nashyami. Krishna says, I personally destroy. And Bhagavatam says, how does he do that? Externally he appears as the Acharya, internally as the Chaitya Guru. And here Prabhupada in his purport is saying, a devotee desired, let there be a temple and seva, devotional service. Therefore, what was once an empty corner has now become a place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of a devotee. How fortunate we are and how grateful we must be to His divine grace. Such gratefulness allows us to very deeply understand these two points. Our fallibility, complete fallibility, and Krishna's infallibility. And when we have these two understandings deeply, then there can be a relationship between the two. The fallible becoming completely dependent on the infallible. Satyam satyam punah satyam harer namaiva kevalam. As the Kevalashtakam explains that there is a Brahma loka paryantam, right from Brahmaji down to the insignificant grass, there is no truth. Everything is temporary except the holy names. The second point that the material world very wonderfully does is always puts us in an embarrassing situation. Always. The most intelligent of people and the most dull are all put into embarrassing situations, you know, at regular intervals. The next verse is going to say, How Brahmaji, I'll just read the translation. All beings both moving and non-moving, from the four-headed Lord Brahma down to the most insignificant living entity, had taken forms and were differently worshipping those Vishnu Murtis. Just imagine, Brahmaji is seeing, and fortunately, Krishna has the potency where he can reveal things without any opportunity for gossiping. The other Brahmas or those who had taken forms did not know that this Brahma had made a mistake. Otherwise, just imagine how much traffic would be going through all the grapevine. Hey, have you heard? This Brahma made a mistake. Hey, did you hear? This Brahma made a mistake. It's so easy to do that. But somehow Krishna makes an arrangement. But only our Brahmaji is observing. This is Krishna consciousness. Because wherever there is Krishna consciousness, there is Krishna. Hence, no gossip, unnecessary gossip. The grapevine is full with talks of Krishna. Not otherwise. If not necessary, if not called for. Can we imagine being the odd man out? You know, have you all ever done that game? Sometimes there's some page that has this faces on them, 13 of them. They all look similar and you have to point out the odd man out. No? Everyone's looking to the left and the odd man is looking to the right. So here are hundreds of Brahmajis in different forms worshipping Krishna and there is one Vishnu and there is one odd man out. How embarrassing that must be. To be the odd man out. To be the one whose eyes are away in the other direction. Can material nature, can we imagine the extent of the shame and embarrassment that material nature can put us to if you're not really careful? If you let slip? So these are two points. One is material nature, inadvertently, we stay in this. Not even let's say long enough. We stay here, mistakes are going to happen. And secondly, embarrassing situations. Now once there was a preacher. He was taking his rounds of his congregation. So at one house, he saw a young boy trying to reach for the doorbell. Couldn't reach up, couldn't jump and reach up. It was too high. So, you know, wanting to, in a mood of compassion, the preacher comes and rings the doorbell. And then smiles at the boy and says, now what? Boy says, now we run. We are very knowledgeable, aren't we? We can understand situations very clearly. We are ready to, eager to give help. What now? Such an embarrassing situation. Because if the door opens up and they say yes, we have no answer. And this is how material nature is. Right from its simplest level of existence to its most complex level of existence. Embarrassing to the core for the living entity. Like Lord Brahma, or Brahmaji here, such embarrassment to see every other Brahma worshipping Vishnu except him. Understanding his mistake. And it is not like sometimes we make a mistake and we say, ab ho gaya na, kya kare? You know, yeah, we made a mistake, so now what? Not like that. Brahmaji can't turn to Krishna and say, all right, I didn't make a mistake, now what? Very embarrassing situation. To turn to Krishna in that situation, it requires so much of introspection and really wanting to take surrender. My dear Lord, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. Not just for mistaking your identity, but also of those who are playing with you. I took them to be ordinary personalities. I took them to be just simple boys compared to who I am. In the second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada mentions another important thing. And a couple of minutes, we'll try to cover that. Prabhupada says, very interestingly, in the material world, desire is a product of Rajagun and Tamagun. But desire in the spiritual world gives rise to a variety of everlasting transcendental service. This is another nature of the material world. What is the nature of the material world? That in this world, pure love, only when Krishna or Krishna's pure devotees, we are somewhere within their, you know, their circle of influence, we can understand what is pure love. Otherwise, the word love practically is non-existent here. It is just the opposite. It can be the gross form, the most degraded form of lust, or maybe the most 24-carat pure form of lust. Why? Because every emotion here in this material world, as Prabhupada says, in the material world, desire is a product of Rajagun and Tamagun. What can we do? We are in the material world. Any desire in this material world is going to be tinged. And that is what happens here. The Shastras sometimes are so very strong. If one has to be very careful, you know, examples like butter, fire, so on and so forth, strict discrimination, using one's intelligence, being very careful, trying to be established in one's swadharma only, in one where one can naturally practice or focus on Krishna consciousness. Why is that? Because let us take one example. If one feels, let's say there is a pure impetus for affection towards someone else, another living entity, there is some affection. By its very nature, in the existence in the material world, this desire will be tinged by Rajagun and Tamagun, and that affection will now be converted. It will be blemished, it will be contaminated. That's how this is, that's what is being mentioned here. Example, Maharaj Bharat. Motive, initially, just help, dear. Material world, existence, Rajagun and Tamagun contaminate that affection, that compassion. And because of that, there's contamination, there's blemish. Therefore, what to do then? Two ways, it appears. Either dealings in the material world, if you are dealing with, let's say, others with affection, there's a danger that, or not a danger, there's definitely the chance that it will be contaminated by Rajagun and Tamagun. And if you try to stay away from all relationships, then the heart becomes hard, there is pride, and again, even from the stage of bhava, one can fall down. So what to do? Well, a material example. A doctor or a physician, when examining patients, has to touch them. Does touch the patient, but after touching the patient and making his examination, comes and washes off with antiseptic water or an antiseptic detergent. Now, another thing that is not really understood is, or not maybe known is, even before examining the patient, the doctor does that. So even before examining, pure antisepsis, or as much antisepsis, after examination, antisepsis. Therefore, when we are in the material world and we are taking shelter of Krishna through the chanting of the holy names, that is the only hope. That has to be done in a very antiseptic manner. What is the antiseptic process of chanting Hare Krishna? Trinadapi shuni chena taroriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. The antiseptic process is this fourfold. Then, we have emotional dealings in the material world. Why? Because in the 11th canto again Krishna says, Katham vina rom harsham dravata chetasa vina. What is the use of all the purification if the heart is not melted and one does not feel ecstasy serving Krishna and Krishna's devotees? Vina ananda shrayo kalaya. So if the heart is still hard and we have undergone all purification, pakka, pure person. Krishna says, what is the use of that if the heart is hard, it's not melted, where will I stay? And if we allow the heart to be melted, but we have not taken the proper antiseptic precautions, then that affection, those emotions will be tinged by the mode of rajogun and tamogun, and again there will be mistaken emotional dealings. What is mistaken or blemished emotional dealings? It is the dealings where there is selfishness. There is something that we want. At the end of the game, whoever we may be, however close our relationship, or very pure in the material world, the purest form in the material it may be, at the end of it all, when we are truly tested, generally, those few rare souls will also respond, is this what I get in return? Is this what I get? So there it comes. That is the tinge of Rajogun and Tamogun. I've done so much for you, sacrificed my entire life, and this is what I get. So, what to do? But desire in the spiritual world gives rise to, so there is another kind of desire, desire of the spiritual world. What is that desire? That is the desire of, in the realm of love, where the mood is not what I get, what I will receive, or even the mood is not that, you know, the benefits that can come, but it is a mood of offering. Whatever I have, I can offer. Or, if I don't have, then at least let me offer my words or my existence to Krishna. This is Bali Maharaj, when he offered his head to Krishna. This is all I have. Let me offer this. Before that, he had, and all those kingdoms, he did offer that. But still, Rajogun and Tamogun, there are some contaminations. Finally, he made that offering. And that is all the living entity has, once independent. Vimrishyate dasheshena ithichchisi tathakuru. It is very important that we deliberate on the actions that we perform. Whether we have knowledge according to Shastra, we are pandits there, or whether we have knowledge because we have heard properly, we do not know the verses of the Shastras, but we know the principles. There has to be deliberation. And based on the deliberation, we have to act. We have to take the decision. And the decision has to be Karishya Vachanam Tava. I offer my decision unto you, my dear Lord. What is your desire? That desire. Therefore, this is such are the desires of a devotee. Let there be a temple and seva. Let there be some seva, some devotional service. So, because in this material world, there is always a tinge of Rajogun and Tamogun, the problem is, how do we express this desire of love? There has to be the proper object of love, the perfect object of love. And only Krishna is the perfect object of love. Because he is transcendental. He is beyond the modes. He is never tinged by Rajogun and Tamogun. Now sometimes when we hear the verse Lord Shiva telling Parvati, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Tasmat Paratram Devi Tadiyanam. So a neophyte understanding would be, better than worship of Vishnu is worshipping the devotees of Vishnu. A clear cut understanding is, well, Lord Shiva is like a quadrillionaire. For him, a quadrillion rupee, quadrillion amount of rupee or a trillion amount of rupee, he knows the difference. For me, there's no difference. Therefore, because I'm so poor, I've never seen such amount of money. So when Lord Shiva is making that, he's doing this according to his realization. For us, we cannot think one is inferior and the other is superior. For us, both are superior. And in that superior context, one is a little more superlative. Not that the first statement becomes inferior. That is how the Rajogun and Tamogun makes us think. Oh, Vishnu Aradhanam is inferior. Tadiya Aradhana is superior. That's not how it is. Krishna is the only personality who can extract that pure love. And therefore, all our activities in Krishna consciousness ultimately must come. They must culminate in developing an attraction for Krishna. And when we develop an attraction of Krishna, then naturally there will be understanding of relationship of Krishna with Krishna's devotees. So here, these are some points that comes out from Brahmaji's vision, where he's seeing the Vishnumurti smiling and Prabhupada is making those comments. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tai Gaura Premanande. We have Trinakarta Prabhu here, a very wonderful disciple of Srila Prabhupada. I'm sorry, Prabhuji, I could not welcome you properly when you came in. We are very happy to have him here in our midst, and we would like to welcome him in a traditional way, but loudly. Would you want to offer some comments? Some clarification? Can we send the mic to you?
Thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhu. Devotional service all over the world, distributing so many books in so many languages. His devotees gave their lives for that. Prabhupada always, he actually offered shelter to the whole world. We just have to learn how to take it. Just like in New York City, Prabhupada's apartment in the beginning, they came to spray all the other apartments with insecticide, you know, to kill the bugs. But Prabhupada would not allow them to come into his apartment. So all the bugs took shelter of Srila Prabhupada's apartment. They were all scampering there. So Srila Prabhupada was giving shelter to all living entities, not just human beings. So we can take advantage of this opportunity Prabhupada gave us and try to distribute as many books as possible for Srila Prabhupada, and that will please him in the best way. That was Prabhupada's heartbeat, and still is. Book distribution, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.